Good morning. I was telling Leonard earlier that I was going to email him on Monday to send a long one. 3-4 pages, because this was the Sunday that Jen was going to do it. So her schedule changed about halfway through the week, so I'm glad I never reached out to you. There's a valuable lesson there. So please listen to the reading and interpret how you would interpret. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who killed the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Bless the reading and hearing of this scripture.
Don Friesen tells a very, very fascinating story about a sparrow that somehow got into the rafters of St. Helen's Church in an English town of Brant Burton. At the time of the intrusion, they were recording a guitar recital for a later broadcast on the radio, and the chirping bird didn't exactly go with the beat. So the Reverend Robin Clark asked the congregation to leave and then asked a friend to bring down a pellet gun to the church and shoot the intruding sparrow. Now, the killing of the sparrow became front page news in the Great Britain in the London Daily Telegraph, and it ran a clever headline that said, Reverend Robin orders death of sparrow. Editorials and letter to the editor chastising the cruel and unusual punishment of this lowly bird. People who hadn't darkened the doors of the church in a decade remembered Psalm 84, in which it declared that even sparrows are welcomed in the house of the Lord. Is there any passage in the scriptures that is more reassuring than this passage? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside the Father's care? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than any sparrows. This passage is basically talking about the disciples. They're going to be going out and proclaiming the gospel. So don't worry. Shout it from the housetop. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them the gospel. Tell them who God is. Don't worry about your life or the cares for tomorrow. Just do what you're called to do. But I want to look at it in a little broader perspective this morning. Some unknown author has put it like this about the sparrow. Said the robin to the sparrow, I really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no father such as cares for you and me. Another poet put it like this, if God sees the sparrows fall, paints the lily short and tall, gives the skies the azure hue, will he not care for you? Joni Erickson Tada, many of you know her, the writer who praises God even though years ago she was injured seriously in a diving accident and was a quadriplegic. She writes, I glanced at the bird feeder and smiled. I could understand Jesus noticing if an eagle or a falcon or a hawk fell to the ground. Those are the important birds that God created, birds that are worth attending to, noticing. But a scrappy sparrow? Yet from thousands of bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scrappiest bird of all. A pint-sized thing that even dedicated bird watchers ignore. That thought alone calmed my fears. I felt significant, and I felt noticed. Because if God takes care of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, what they are doing, I know that God keeps tabs on me. Sparrows are humble birds. They were true in Bible times also. Sparrows were considered food for the poor. And because they were so cheap, the poor could afford to offer them in sacrifice to the Lord if they couldn't afford a lamb or a goat or a bull. You could buy two sparrows for a penny. Hal Rhodes says that a sparrow is about as worthless as a bird can get. They are dirty, usually have fleas, and they reproduce abundantly. They have no song, they're not colorful, and they're not pretty. Sparrows are some of the most plentiful common birds in the world, notes David Dykes. Where you find people, you'll find sparrows. They only live in populated areas because they are scavengers of leftovers. Concerning Jesus' choice of sparrows as an example of God's watchfulness, Dyke writes, sparrows were cheap and common. It would make better sense if Jesus had said, God knows where every eagle falls because eagles are such majestic birds. But Jesus was making a point that God cares for the most common, unnoticed birds. Naturalists tell us that there are approximately 35,000 bald eagles in the United States and Canada. But who cares to count to see how many sparrows there are? God sees a sparrow fall. Jesus is saying to us that whatever trial we may be going through, God is aware and God cares about you and your need. The Master says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of the Father's care? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered, so do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but I spend too much time being afraid. I may not be conscious that it's fear that is driving me at times. I may simply call it worry or anxiety or concern or restless mind. But at heart, it is fear. Don't raise your hand, but is there anybody in this room who has fear this morning? Anyone who is anxious or spending too much time in worry? It's a really wonderful scene in the 1980 comedy Airplane, a classic. An elderly lady, a passenger sitting next to the character, Ted Stryker, as the plane is about to take off. The lady asks him, nervous? Stryker answers, yes. Thinking this might be his first flight, the lady asks, first time? Stryker answers, no, I've been nervous plenty of times before. It reminds me of another story about a very nervous airline passenger years ago who began pacing the terminal during bad weather, lightning storms going off. During his walk, he ran across one of those machines. Remember my first flight, I saw one in the airport where you could put in $3 and you could get $100,000 worth of flight insurance. So if you crashed, your family, whoever you left it to, would have some money. Just $3 for $100,000. So the man looked out the window and the threatening clouds and the lightning storms and thinking about his family at home. So he decided that he would purchase such a policy. So he took his $3, got his policy. Then he decided in the airport he needed something to eat. So he looked around at airport restaurants and he found his favorite food, Chinese. He was all relaxed, having a good time, had his meal. Then they brought him the fortune cookie. Opened up the fortune cookie. Being very positive, the fortune cookie said, your recent investment will pay big dividends. I don't think I would have got on that flight. what is it that makes us worry so much about things that will probably never happen? We've all done it. Worried, fretted, cried, beat our heads against a wall, and it never, ever even came to pass. What or who can free us from our baggage of fear? Dr. Charles Mayo, the Mayo Clinic, said he believes that worry, that there's a growing mountain of evidence that worry is may be the chief contributor to depression, nervous breakdowns, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and early death. And he says that stress kills. He goes on to say, I've never known a person to die from hard work, but I've known a lot of people to die from worry. I think that can be true. If Christ wants to set us free from all of our fears, whatever they may be, he does in this passage that remind us that we have a loving, caring Father who is always with us, always mindful of our needs, always willing to grant us his peace and his joy. His eye is on the sparrow. God has such an intimate knowledge of us that he knows every hair upon our heads. You may think that you are alone as you face the problems that you go through on a daily basis, but you are not alone. God is with you. God has not created the world and gone away and then going to come back to see what happened one day to his creation. I refuse to believe that. There's one who is even closer to us than the very air that we breathe. He knows our needs. He cares for us. We are his children. Such an awareness of the unconditional love of God should give us an enormous sense of freedom about living our lives on a daily basis. We should be able to live joyfully, able to live peacefully, as if we have not a care in the world, like a little child on the playground. The ultimate freedom in life comes from trusting your life to God. The message of the gospel is that we need not fear life. We need not fear death. We need not fear tomorrow. We need not fear today. We can live faith-filled lives, lives bolstered by our knowledge of God's love for us and God's presence always with us. And this is the secret, I believe, of achieving great things for God. We operate best in the world when our lives are built on a solid rock of confidence that behind the world is a creator who watches over us and will never leave us and never forsake us. Christ wants us to believe in an omnipotent God who sees every sparrow and counts every hair. If we must have even the smallest amount of faith, faith like a grain of mustard seed, then we can move mountains and great things can be done. See, faith is not something we earn. It's a free gift from our Heavenly Father. The best things, as the old proverb says, are free. And you can't put a price on love or health or friendship. However, there is a sense in which we can earn them, because to have a friend, it said, you need to be a friend. Health is not attained by being a couch potato. We have to get up. We have to walk or run or lift or Pilates. Have to change our diets and our habits. Do something to help our health. But faith is a pure, free gift. And the only way you can receive it is to open yourself up to it. And a simple prayer will do. Perhaps the prayer uttered by a man whose son was having convulsions in the Bible. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus' disciples were powerless to help him. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? The distraught father answered, from childhood. If you can do anything, he pleaded, have compassion on us. Help us, please. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Your life, your family's life is in turmoil. Fear keeps you awake at night. And if only you could believe in a God who watches out for the sparrow. If only you could put your trust and your faith in that God. So you pray with complete sincerity. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is a prayer I believe God will answer for each and every one of us. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. My friends, believe. Do not be afraid. God loves you. Amen.